Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
With this kind of gold material, why wouldn't we start it, eh? We're going to miss Wonga today, aren't we? Wonga's not here, everyone, I'm afraid. He's drowned.
Charms.
Well, he possibly. He
sent a video. He's drowning.
As was Craig's weirdest thing, right? These things happen in threes usually, which concerns me. So yesterday, Craig has to get rescued by a helicopter from his building. He's flooding. Water everywhere. And then this morning we wake up to Wonga saying, my roof's leaking. And he's not here. So two of us of the family are in trouble right now. Who's the third going to be? That is the question.
Well, I was up most of the night with my oldest having a 104 degree temperature.
104?
So is that the third thing?
That could be it. Yeah. That's a beaut.
Yeah, that could be it, right?
Wow. How is the child now?
Better. But that number is always alarming, right? When you see that on the thermometer and then it didn't move with Tylenol.
Because people freak out with fevers, right? And they shouldn't usually. But 104, that's when it's like, okay, this better start moving pretty quick.
Yeah. And I'm usually pretty chill with that stuff. Like I don't get worked up. And I mean, partly for the kids, but also just is not the way that I operate. But you see 104 and then you keep seeing it and it's not moving. And then we have a great service. I'm sure you guys have it in Ontario, but in Quebec, it's Info Santé. And so it's 811. And then you can call and speak to a nurse directly.
Telehealth. And, they call it, okay, I think.
There we go. So I spoke to this wonderful woman named Rebecca, who gave me tons of advice and just reassured me that do not panic at the number. It's look at the child. Is there lethargy? Is he dehydrated? Is there pain anywhere else in the body? And then we tried Advil and Advil did the trick.
So he's okay now? Just come down?
Come down. Still a doctor's appointment today, but doing a lot better.
Just fever or was it like a flu of such?
Coughing, pretty badly. And then also his lower back was sore. So that was, for me, I was like, alarm bells, maybe a little bit, And then you don't want to Google those symptoms either.
No.
Not good. Not good.
Are you guys Googlers? Are you Googlers? No, you're not. Good. It's best not to.
I do sometimes. And JP yells at me.
Self-diagnose?
Yeah.
You go down a rabbit hole pretty quickly.
And it's always worst case scenario, right? There's nothing measured about those diagnoses. Got diagnoses? Diagnoses?
Diagnoses. I think it's this. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, your mic, can you plug your mic in again or jump in and jump out?
Yeah, my mic's not working.
Oh. Doesn't have his mic, I think, is the answer.
Is it not there? I thought I saw it there. What's in the front of you there?
It's not working.
You haven't got it, have you? Oh, you have got it.
What was that, Jimmy? You show us that again? What was that?
Yeah, what was that you showed us?
That's not a mic, is it? What is that?
You forgot your bloody mic again.
Hello, testing.
Here's my mic, Sherms. Oh, no, it's not working.
For those listening, Jimmy was showing the tip of... Oh, now he's showing a banana.
He was a glasses case.
That better be a banana.
Or you might want to call telehealth.
Yeah, that's right.
My pack's yellow with black spots.
That banana looks feverish.
The black spots. Fever.
Jimmy, why have you forgotten your mic again?
It's not... I didn't forget it. It's the wire. I need to fix the wire.
Is that what it is? Yeah. You sure about that?
Full of shit.
If you forgot your boots when you played, you wouldn't be allowed to play, would you?
No, probably not, no.
So what I'm saying is fuck off.
Are you telling me get off? Get off the show? Sub.
Well, imagine like, you know, turning out, I don't know, Upton Park for Norwich and you didn't have any boots, right? And you're running around in bare feet, right? The team would look bad, wouldn't it? It would reflect badly on the team.
The problem was we used to have the kit man would bring your boots. I just don't have anybody bringing my mic in the mornings.
Maybe you need an intern.
Not wrong.
You would if you could, right?
Yeah.
Oh. You ever have any bad kit men? Who was the worst kit man you had?
No, they're always the best.
They are, right? Yeah. You'd never speak badly of one, would you?
Yeah. And they know everything. They have all the secrets. They know all the gossip. And so it's to your benefit to befriend them, but usually these are salt of the earth people who would do anything for you, and by default, people that's reciprocated. They're beloved.
They are.
Usually. Everyone that I had, man or woman, kit man or woman, were terrific.
John Moncur at West Ham was upset one day. He kept for a few days, he was like, Eddie, you keep leaving out my socks or my shirt, or there's always something missing. So he comes in late one day. We were actually already out, so he fires into the club, and there's literally no kit sitting there. And he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So all he does is puts his boots on and nothing else and runs out and joins the gang completely naked. He's like, if he's not putting my kit out, I've got no kit. All I've got is my boots. And he did the whole warm-up. And there's a few fans. Back then, there's no videos, right, obviously. Camera videos. So there's a few fans there, a dozen fans or something, watching John Moncur do the warm-up completely naked. 2 days later, he had the flu.
That's amazing.
And then after finishing the whole sort of regimented warm-up, he's like, yeah, I better go in. So as he's running by the fans... There's a big puddle there, and he does a swan dive and slides right through it, right in front of the fan, completely naked.
Brilliant. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's the best.
The only kit he had was his lunch kit.
That's right. Well done, Charms. Yeah. I did something similar. I wasn't naked, but we were in Pan Am Games in Rio, and you're bored, right? You come up with all kinds of stuff to entertain yourself and each other, and we had like a little activation session, and my understanding, it was just going to be a walk and a stretch. It turns out it was a little bit more involved. It was more like an agility session, running ladders in like a parking garage underneath the athlete's village. And I thought it would be hilarious to wear like the dress jacket that we were given, because they were kind of these white blazers with, I mean, this kit's, oh, it's very hit or miss, right? Yeah. So I thought it would be hilarious to just wear my sports bra and my sliders and the blazer for the walk, just to make people laugh. But then I ended up having to do a full workout in it. And I was like, this just didn't come off the way I'd intended at all. But everybody thought it was hilarious.
Did they?
Well, yes. My teammates did. Our strength and conditioning person was none too pleased.
I mean, how many kit people were there back in those days, Dubs, for the Canada soccer, right? Obviously, budgets were a thing. Just the one, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, Stephen Hart, I posted a picture of my sister Cindy and I, my first cap, and that national team jersey that I showed a couple podcasts ago, right? And Stephen Hart wrote, that's the year that Kevin Muldoon only ordered extra large kit. and the women's team, well, they didn't order some for the women's team. We just got the men's kit, right? But I thought that was very funny. But we had Kevin Muldoon first, who was our kit man, but also our goalkeeper coach. And that evolved. Yep. And then that evolved. And before it was Maeve, I can't remember who we have, who we had, but Maeve Glass, who retired recently, but was with the national team for the women's team and then also the men's team for over a decade, years and years and years. Just a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Craig, didn't you have a kit man who was also the bus driver? Was that you or was that Dickio?
Yeah, Ipswich Town, yeah.
Ipswich, right. Did both jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, he'd also load the bus with the kit.
Yeah.
And then drive the bus.
Yeah.
Times change, eh?
Yeah. He was awesome.
How many kit men did you have later in your career? West Ham, Chelsea. Surely there's more kit men at Chelsea than West Ham and Ipswich.
I don't remember, but all the kit was always out.
Yeah.
You get kind of spoiled by having everything done for you.
Kevin Muldoon was involved with Canada for years, right? Is he still involved?
No.
No?
No. Yeah, but he was involved for years. He's a good man.
He's a
scouser. Funny guy, kit man. He would call you in the mornings. He'd be the wake-up guy. Be the goalkeeper coach.
There'd be a wake-up guy?
Yeah.
Just like call you in your hotel rooms. Time to get up. Because you useless idiots wouldn't be able to set an alarm yourselves.
Exactly. That's what I said. We get spoiled. Everything's done for you.
Yeah. So it's like you kind of came in your room and shook you. Hey, Craig, wake up. It's every room.
Yeah. And when you retire, life gets hard. All of a sudden, the life sucks. Real life sucks balls.
It really does, I imagine. If you avoided it for most of your career.
I think you guys will remember, though, with Kevin Muldoon, he was a hilarious man, very, very funny. And then, but when you saw him physically, the way his hands and his feet.
Oh, he had bad angles.
That's shocking, the guy. That's
shocking
him.
Angles.
But you would not believe how he could strike a ball.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Just pick out corners.
Because his feet would turn outwards right at the ankle, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was like a penguin kind of.
Mm-hmm.
His inside ankle bones almost touched the ground when he walked.
Yeah. Was that from football injuries or just the way?
No,
it was?
I don't think. No. No. No injuries.
No injuries?
No. But his inside ankles were basically on the deck, and the bottom of the soles of his boots were out pointing left and right.
Cleanest studs in the routine. Yeah,
that's right. But could strike a ball perfectly.
Yeah,
you really could. Not hard, but just place it out of your reach. And you'd be going post to post and doing drills, and you would just leave it out of your reach. And you're like, fuck off, Kevin. Like,
Yeah, really precise, and he'd put you in your place real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because you look at him, and you wouldn't be expecting it. And then you learned, right, to just back right off. Because then also, in terms of the banter, like he'd be right. He'd be all over you if you were going to say anything, but then you learned to shut up pretty quick because he could pick his spots.
Oh, yeah. With that Scouse accent, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
That's a good topic. I mean, staff members, be it with the national team or clubs, wherever, who never played the game perhaps professionally, but who were obviously really good and who you depended on to put a ball in a certain place. Were there others that you can think of who stood out, just always struck a ball well or did whatever, but never actually had a playing career?
Not off the top of my head, not like Kevin Muldoon. Most of them had played at some level.
How many kit men for you, Jimmy? Like who's the best kit man you ever had?
Oh, it's a hard one, Charles, because all the kit men, I mean, look, at the end of the day, the kit men are the heart and soul of the club. They run everything. Right, they know everything that's going on. They're so involved, and even in the community, if you went out for a beer with a kit man, the kit man knows everybody. Knows everybody in the high streets and the local pubs, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
they're like the mayor of the town.
Yeah,
whatever you need, if you needed anything, you go see the kit man. You're like, hey, listen, I need to get this, or yeah, here, no problem, I've got that for you.
Yeah, usually really good character guys too. You know, they could give a little bit back. Trevor Curtin at Ipswich. I mean, he was there doing the greats in the late 70s and early 80s winning UEFA Cups and stuff with a great team. And if anybody gave him any trouble, he'd be like, he would put you in your place. You guys are shite. I used to work with Terry Butcher. And
it's so true.
Yeah.
It's to your advantage, though, right, to befriend them, or at least to be on the kit person's good side, right? And that's something that you want to teach the youth, like the rookies who come on the team. Like any team that I was a part of, you always helped the kit person. And then it usually came back to you in spades, right? They would like slide you something on the side when there wasn't a whole lot of kit or stuff floating around with the national team. And you got like a little bonbon, as you say in Quebec, like a little gift, a little surprise that would be waiting for you in your stall. And if like you what? Helped.
A joint?
No. No. If there was extra kit lying around that wasn't accounted for.
Mm.
And then you would get it. And maybe it was a pair of socks, or maybe it was a pair of sliders or whatever it was. But then you had that in the rotation. And then, clambering onto the bus or climbing onto the bus at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. to catch flights. You set the example by helping with the bags of balls and all of the equipment and all the like huge rolly bags that you have to load onto the bus. And then everybody follows by example.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's pretty evident, anybody who doesn't want to participate. And I'm not saying that the kit person would then hold a grudge, but that's part of your team culture as well, is that inclusion, and everybody's chipping in and everybody's part of the team, including the kit person. Usually it doesn't take much convincing, but sometimes they're the people who stick out like a sore thumb because they don't want to do their part.
Yeah. Like who? Name some names here. Who mistreated a kit person that you can think of?
Well, it's not always about mistreatment, but it's just in their attitude. And, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's what I thought. That, Jimmy, remember we were part of the YTS, the youth training scheme system, and it was a little bit like slave labor, cheap slave labor, because paying you, 25 pounds a week, and they're making you clean the stands and the toilets and the boots and the sweeping of the building, and you're doing everything. But you did have a little bit of discipline, and you were sort of taught that, listen, you haven't done anything yet. And you got to work your way up, and you're going to be playing, and you're going to be working hard, and you're going to be cleaning the building. However, they don't do that anymore. And I've seen that sort of the groups these days, sometimes they don't want to be part of helping grab the balls. A kit man's got five bags, he's got balls, and he's got kit, and then they just blow right past him and go straight into the dressing room sometimes. And I just think that sometimes that's kind of something that's lost, is that little bit of discipline.
Yeah, it's true, though. I mean, look, in any trade, they still have apprenticeship. And you were learning your trade when we were doing our apprenticeship at a young age. Mm-hmm. Like Horace is saying, looking after the club, you looked after the dressing rooms, you polished your you had your own pro that you had to look after. You had to polish his boots. You had to make sure his kit was out in the mornings. And and I remember, and then when you did break into the first team, and then when you did break into the first team, the young guys were the guys that helped the kit man, and you were the one that loaded up the bus and put everything on. And then when you came onto the bus, it was making tees for the pros. Even though you're going to play a first team match, you would still be on that bus making all the players and the staff tees or getting them a biscuit, whatever it was. But if you just learn to respect the game, you learn to respect the culture. And I think it's missing now. It is missing big time, because the young guys today, they don't care. They don't help anywhere.
Yeah.
And the problem is when they do get released, 90%, 95% of them are going to get released, and they're not going to make a professional career out of it. Maybe they're missing out a little bit of discipline as well. So I think that sometimes is doing them a disservice.
On teams where that was most successful is when it wasn't treated as a demeaning act or as like a hazing of sorts, where you're the rookies, you're the new blood, you have to do all of this menial work, and we're going to kind of look down our noses at it. It was a collective team effort that, yes, you guys had to take the lead because this is part of your apprenticeship. This is part of you earning your stripes, as it were. But we as veterans and people who have been here before and we've been through it, we're also going to lend a hand. And it's everybody working together, but it has to be spearheaded by you guys. And that's when those lessons were learned, I think, most effectively, when it wasn't like you know, spitting their names out and saying, fucking Forrest, go grab the bag of balls, or like, go grab the kit, or go do this. Like, it was everybody was participating and chipping in. And even though they had to do their part, but it was, you know, it was the captain doing it as well, and the veterans doing it. And then that's when it was most effective, and it held the most meaning, I think, too.
Yeah. Dubs, are you looking forward to your pod apprenticeship ending?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I'd like to thank you guys for your leadership, for your generosity of spirit, for your misogyny. I've learned so much.
Thanks for picking up those balls.
Yeah. That's right. There's always a fair amount of balls to pick up, usually in the gutter.
Yeah, there's way too many balls on this show.
Yeah, that's right.
Not as many as you think, though. No.
Seven on this show right now.
Yeah, there's always an odd one out.
Dickie O used to tell us Peter Crouch was someone that used to clean his boots, I think at QPR when he first broke through. Do you remember anyone, any player that became something that used to clean your boots? Just say Frank Lampard, Craig, just say it.
Yeah, I think so. Who's that? I mean, guys that, not specifically mine, but like guys like Titus Bramble.
Titus Bramble. He could have
last
been
name
he was
ever.
Actually so much better than people thought, right? Because he made bad mistakes a couple of times and he was kind of tarnished, but a really good player who probably should have done more. Well done.
Thank you.
Bramble.
Thanks very much.
That's good.
It's been fun. It's been fun being on the show, guys.
No, Titus Bramble, Craig. He was a good player there, right? Great skill set. Great talent.
Yeah. Big defender.
Titus Shambles, they called him.
Local lad. Local lad from Ipswich.
Was he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, anyone?
Kieran Dyer, another guy?
Really? Kieran Dyer cleaned your boots.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, Kieran Dyer was good.
Yeah, he had a good career.
He did. He did.
He's back at Ipswich coaching, actually.
But. Is that where he is? Yeah, I remember seeing a story on him last few months, and I was... because I forgot all about him, and I was surprised to see him doing what he was doing. Good for him.
Hey, Jimmy, kit man.
Yeah. Did you guys ever tip your kit man? Because, I mean, they got pretty good tips, right?
I believe. Christmas time.
Yeah? What's the most you give a kit man?
No, you'd have a whip round, so everybody would be, whether it was like 50 quid or 100 quid, whatever you decide, whatever the captain decided, and then everybody chipped in and you would give it to, and well, I mean, it was pretty much everybody, the kit man you would look after, the, whoever was doing the laundry or whoever was in the kitchen making the lunches.
And what did you call it, Jimmy? A whip around?
Whip.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's just like everybody.
Everybody like puts money in the hat.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. The whip around.
I wonder where that term came from. Whip around.
I don't know.
Very good question.
That's right.
JC's got an idea.
Yeah, that's right.
JC, do a little Google search.
Had a different meaning. Different meaning back at the male strip club.
No, that's a reach around.
That's S-M. Yeah.
That's right. I knew I was doing it wrong.
Forrest, I thought you chipped in. So did I.
That'd be right, though, wouldn't I? You're a kit man. You've been working hard all season.
I'm reach around. Here, let me give you a little whip around.
Yeah.
Forrest, so generous. Thank you.
Exactly.
I'll catch you on the back end.
Hey, boys, it's time for a reach around. It'd be a great day for the kit man, wouldn't it? It'd be brilliant. By the way, we've got a review. We should read the review out. Kind of alludes to a little bit of that type of humor. It's actually, I think it's a good review. I think.
You think?
Right?
It's underhanded.
You saw this one, right? You saw this one, right? Wonga sent it this morning. Okay, I think it's generally pretty good.
Settle in as well.
A little bit passive aggressive. It's quite long. Yeah, it is definitely verbose. Shall I read the whole thing?
No. Okay.
This is from TFC Fan 12.
First, no.
This was from back in January, actually. I don't know why we're just seeing it now, Wonga. Anyway, okay, the best soccer show in North America, but occasionally irritating. No shit. Hang on there.
Not wrong.
It's great fun having three ex-pros, Amy Walsh, Craig Forrest, and Jim Brennan, discuss soccer and culture with three broadcasters. They're generally funny and bright, and engaging. It's a banter style podcast, not something formal and strict, so people talk over each other, but all are generally well informed on the sport, and they mostly focus on EPL and the Canadian national teams. The only time they fall down, here we go, really, is in coverage of MLS, which several of them clearly despise. And MLS does a lot of contemptible stuff, so that's understandable to a degree, but they overdo it in making every comment about MLS about something they don't like. They could just discuss the league and games occasionally and without quite as much acid. There's a lot of acid. It's not the same league that Mark Watson had to quit 25 years ago because it paid less than the A-League, for one. They also seem open to tossing around comments about and stories from fan websites, which is fraught with peril, particularly when those fan sites tend to rip and read any story off Google News, regardless of whether it's any legitimate sourcing behind it. And they have a weak spot in their associations with the Canadian football establishment, naivety about how many of those involved on the business side are just operators out to squeeze as much money out of football without proper investment as they can get. They seem to think the CPL, CSB are saints, when really it's doing more harm to football in this country than help, running a semi-pro league that few watch for a fraction of the proper cost of operating a league properly. But a few gripes aside, a few, it's still the best multi-episode footy podcast in North America. Most are run by fans who are just espousing deeply uninformed opinions, or by American ex-jocks who can't find something better to do in their retirement than talk about the perennially underachieving U.S. men's national team. So it's a great review, right? I'll take it. Thank you very much, TFC Fan 12. Now, I think regarding the MLS, we've dealt with that, right, this season. This came out back in January. Okay, Jimmy, your hand's raised.
Has Jimmy ever raised a hand?
Never. Never raised a hand.
First time.
Well, because he's saying that we talk over each other. So I thought I'd raise my hand.
I think that's fair.
It's a good idea, actually.
Sorry to interrupt, Jimmy. I think that's fair.
We should do that more often.
Yeah. So well, I just want to say something. You know, that's nice. It's a nice review. Some of it I agree with. Some of it I don't. Now, this whole MLS bullshit that he's talking about.
Wait, hang on a minute.
There's one fucking guy that doesn't like MLS, and it's Craig Forrest. Yes, Amy.
Oh. Yeah. Did you take notes during that review?
I did.
You did?
Dagger, what are you talking about?
Forrest. He's the only one that hates MLS. The rest of us like MLS.
And I don't hate MLS.
You do a little bit.
No, I don't like the some of the format part of it, and just the way the playoff system and all that. I'm a bit of traditionalist that way.
Sorry, but
that
is fucking stupid. Forrest, Charms, you had your hand raised. Go ahead.
No. I mean, I'm with Jimmy there. I think Craig doesn't despise MLS, and if anyone does, though, he's the only one on this show. But we have addressed it for this season, right? And I think TSC Fan 12 will acknowledge that now, with our four specific MLS podcasts per week, we've addressed Craig's hate. And we're trying to kind of build around that and educate Craig.
And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
It's now sponsored by McDonald's.
Yeah. The information I get from Montreal and Dubs and the three questions in Montreal, amazing. Jimmy, TFC, average. And then Vancouver, three questions, amazing again with Asa Raymond and Charms doing an amazing job learning all about Vancouver. What do you have to say with your hands up there, Amy?
Yeah, I just I missed that last bit when you were talking about Montreal three questions and then Jimmy on TFC. But before you get into that, Forrest, great job yourself on Vancouver Whitecaps three questions. But could you just repeat that first bit? I missed it.
Oh, yeah. Montreal is amazing. Oh. Best podcast I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think Ollie really adds to it.
Oh, Ollie's tremendous. I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah.
You're the number eight, you know, doing all the hard work, aren't you? Number six, actually, doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. He's the number nine getting all the glory. That's fine. No, but they're a great review, though. And I don't think we're naive when it comes to Canadian soccer. And I don't think we espouse the virtues of certain bodies within the country and nothing else. I think we're pretty balanced. We have opinions, and we're allowed opinions. And maybe they're contrary to TFC Fan 12's opinions, and that's fine. Yeah. We welcome that. But
I think it's welcome. You know, I think we're entitled to speak about the national team simply because
we've all come through the system. We've all played at the U15 level, the U17, U23, and then into the full men's and women's national team. So we've been through the system. We are a product of the system. So when we do talk about it, we're very passionate and knowledgeable.
And we are trying to pump the CPL's tires. I don't think you shouldn't criticize the CPL, although you're well within your rights to criticize the CPL. But yeah, listen,
maybe somebody hates the CPL more than somebody hates the MLS.
Seems that way, doesn't it, Craig? PFC fan 12. Not a big fan, eh? Give it a chance. Perhaps it's a fledgling league that needs some patience.
Support local.
Yes, Amy.
Yes, I take umbrage in particular with this section here, or this excerpt, and they have a weak spot in their associations with the Canadian football establishment. Naivete about how many of those involved on the business side are just operators out to squeeze as much money out of football without proper investment as they can get.
I don't agree with that.
I think that we're open. No, and we are liberal in our criticism of everything, regardless of where we come from. If we feel like it's merited and it's deserved, we're going to levy it, but we're also going to support and call good things out. I think that we are balanced in our approach, and I don't think anybody is immune to criticism, including ourselves. So thank you for the review.
And besides Dubs, I mean, you've been extremely vocal against CSB over the last number of months, I think. And quite frankly, I don't agree. I don't think there are some people, I'm sure, trying to suck all they can out of the game, but I don't think that it's nearly as many people as perhaps TSC Fan 12 thinks. But he or she sounds pretty well-versed and educated in all things Canadian football, so it would be a good debate. But hey, listen, thank you for the review, and thank you for the 5 stars, by the way. That does help as well, and all the platforms. Helps algorithms and shit, which means we can get more people listening to us. And that means potentially more money coming in, which means we can expand our offerings as well, which we're trying right now with all these more podcasts. And of course, wearefootyprime.com. So yeah, thank you. That's great.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
MLS ref strike's over. We did really well, by the way, not talking much about that the last few weeks because, God, it's boring.
We did. We dove into it a little bit on the mini pods because I think with Montreal's result in Chicago, I think you had to talk about it. There was no way that you couldn't talk about it. And it just kept coming back to me whether you were, pardon me, on the wrong end of some of those decisions or Galaxy talking about their game. Penalties not awarded in other games across the league. It was like a perfect storm, as it were, for that discussion to be at the forefront of MLS. If they care about their brand, they care about how they're regarded worldwide. You can't be sending out officials who don't have the proper experience, who don't have the proper quality. That's not aligned. So I'm really pleased for the referees, first and foremost, for their union, that they get to go back to work. But I'm pleased for the players and the coaches. Mm-hmm. And the league itself, probably at the bottom, that now finally there's still going to be errors, there are still going to be mistakes, but now you have the best possible personnel out on the pitch.
It reminds me of a few years ago when the NFL referees had the same situation where they brought in temporary referees and it was a disaster for the NFL. It sort of reminds me of that. And then after it got so bad, a deal was done. And then over the last few weekends, some of these decisions we've seen in MLS have actually helped the referees, I think, and they've actually done something to get this thing hurried through. So good on everybody. Like, you're right, good on the referees. I hope they got looked after.
Can you imagine the swagger these referees are going to have when they come out on the pitch this week? Yeah, they're going to be like, yeah, yeah. Oh, you don't like us, eh? Oh, yeah? You criticize us every – oh, yeah? Imagine How do you they, fucking enjoy that, by the way?
Imagine they come out with, like, bling, like some chains and some grills and stuff. They're like, we got paid, yo.
New uniforms.
Yeah. Pull up in a Ferrari.
Oh, imagine the first referee wearing white boots.
Oh,
that'd be amazing.
Big time Charlies.
Big time Charlies.
Oh, they would get absolutely killed, wouldn't they? If somebody,
I mean, listen, if Mark Lambert never wore white boots, no one's going to wear white boots, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But I just think they're going to walk out there saying, yeah, so stop your whining and complaining. That's the alternative. We're pretty damn good. All right.
They whip out the foam, but it's like fancy. It's like hot pink and stuff.
It's got some gems and emeralds attached to the case. It's an iPhone 15.
I have a question for you.
What do you say, foam or phone? You said foam, right? Foam. I thought you said foam. Didn't make much sense to me, but I went with it anyway. Sorry.
In a football match, both teams have sponsors on their jerseys. Why do referees not have a sponsor on their kit?
Because you want them to appear unbiased, Jimmy.
You mean like a gambling company?
Brilliant.
Can you imagine?
Tony Bet emblazoned across the referee.
Yeah, they'll have like live betting scrolling across their chest.
Hey, we're not far off.
Not far off.
We're not.
No.
Yeah. AI referees are just around the corner as well, right? You know that. Then we can't complain.
Jeez.
But maybe they could be sponsored by like Swiss Watch, right? Like the neutrality, and we're keeping time correctly and we're exacting, right? But then that just opens a can of worms, I think.
Isn't there, though, isn't Timex or Seiko, they're like the official watch or time keeper of, is it UEFA? Yes. And they're not on the referees? I'm trying to envision a referee now. Have they not got any sponsorships? EA Sports?
No, the scoreboards are sponsored that they hold up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're getting awfully close without it being sponsored, right? Like that's where the lines blurred a little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
They can hold it up but can't have it on the shirt.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Do you prefer the yellow referee shirts or the black referee shirts?
I couldn't give a shit.
I like traditional black. I've never given it much thought.
Yep, me too. Yep. Yeah. The minute you put a yellow shirt on a referee, he just, that's the big time Charlie factor gets, you know, spectrum goes way, way the right. Yeah, it's time to stay back with the black shirts, please. Euro qualifying yesterday, by the way. Ukraine. At Euro, that's a big, big moment for them. They need something, right? Obviously, Poland beat Wales on penalties. What about Georgia? First time ever qualifying for a major. The third former Soviet Union country to qualify for a major tournament. Do you know who the other two were?
What a peach.
You don't know, do you? Do you know?
Georgia peaches now.
Peach.
The what? Other two former Soviet Union countries to qualify?
Czechoslovakia?
Nope.
Hungary?
No.
To qualify?
Bulgaria?
For a major. No.
Macedonia?
No.
Yugoslavia?
I mentioned one of them already.
Georgia?
Former Soviet Union. Member of the former Soviet Union.
Oh, Ukraine.
Yeah, Ukraine's one. And then there's another one from Euro 2004.
2004. Don't tell us.
I still want to find out about this peaches comment and what the hell that meant.
Georgia peaches.
Oh, Georgia. Stretch.
I get my peaches down in Georgia.
Exactly. Oh, see, now it's okay, is it? Can you see it?
No, it's not. Yeah. Given up. Jimmy said, don't give me the answer. He's trying to figure this out. He's going to go through all the Euro 2004 teams in his mind.
Give me the first letter and I'll get it.
L.
L?
Latvia? Yes.
Yes.
Craig got it. Latvia. Wasn't that interesting?
One of the Baltic states.
Anything else you want to learn? Teach us about Latvia?
They're home of Tony Bett.
Nice, Craig. Mm. Well done.
No, that was Estonia.
Is that Estonia?
No, no. No, that's the guy that was running Tony Bett was from Estonia.
Mm.
I believe.
I believe. He just, you're like, this is a fact, I believe, is the caveat.
Some of their opinions come from fan sites, which are not verified. They just Google search and could mean anything.
CJ yeah. Parker?
CJ Parker.
I believe Tony Bett refers to S. Tony.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Right.
But right. perhaps located in Latvia?
Hmm.
Mm. Latvian Orthodox, perhaps?
Perhaps. Mm. Lithuania beat Gibraltar as well, by the way. So Euro's taking shape. We'll get obviously more into that as the tournament approaches. All right. What else do you want to get to here? We had this good little chat on the dark web about the strongest league in the world, right? Some rankings came out. Opta's strongest league through their power rankings was updated. Now, reading from Opta's site here, their rankings is a global team ranking system that assigns an ability score to nearly 13,500 domestic football teams on a scale between 0 and 100, where 0 is the worst ranked team in the world and 100 is the best team in the world. The power rankings are updated daily and currently rank teams from 183 different countries and 413 domestic unique leagues, providing a truly global rating system in men's football. Our power rankings utilize a hierarchical ELO based rating system to measure the strength of each team. The ELO rating system is a skill score that has been adapted to many sports since its creation for chess player ratings, including the official FIFA world rankings of both men and women. The ELO algorithm used here analyzes match results from over 2,500,000 games since 1990 to assign a rating to each team that is comparable across leagues, countries, and continents. So as it stands right now, Man City is the best team in the world, according to Opta's power rankings, followed by Real Madrid and Inter Milan, Liverpool and Arsenal, Bayern Munich in there as well. So the Premier League is, by these metrics, the best league in the world, with an average score of 87.3, followed by La Liga at 84.8. Serie A is third, 84.5. Bundesliga, 84.1. And Ligue 1 at 83.6. Jimmy is dying to jump in here.
No, please proceed.
I've got nothing else.
Who is the body that you talked about who also assigns these rankings to chess?
Okay. So it's based...
ELO.
ELO or ELO. Oh, I don't know if it's...
Right.
I don't know.
They also do music, right? Electric Light Orchestra?
ELO, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, who is that all-encompassing. Mm. I can't remember.
Blue Sky.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Blue Sky. That's a great song.
What is that? What is that?
Jamie, you got a vibrator there?
Oh, my God. No. That's me. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, JC. Sorry, Amy. Actually,
that's okay. Not mine.
Yeah, he's got a snuck on the wall.
Dumbs his gas pedal anyway. Ling, 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 ling. No, sorry. Too far.
What's happening?
I don't know what's happening.
Is it? Are you thinking of Jeff Lynne?
Occasionally, you can be irritating. Sorry, what's that?
Jeff Lynne of ELO.
Yeah, that wasn't the guy. No, someone else.
Oh, okay, Roy Wood.
I'm sure he's there.
Yes, that's who I think of. I think of Jeff Lynne.
So okay. Continue, Sharm. So
I've got nothing else. I've done my part.
What do you know? You gave the top five leagues, but did they just stop at five, or did they?
Okay,
keep going?
So okay, no, they go. Here we go then. Continuing with MLS, right? Because no, we love MLS here.
This is the one with the top 10 leagues.
Yeah, is that the same one? Okay, is MLS in there, Jimmy, and yours?
The one that Opta did.
No.
Yeah.
This is the Opta Power Rankings.
Yeah, so that's it.
Yeah.
Number one is the English Premier League. Two is the German Bundesliga.
Three, okay, that's old.
Italian.
No, that's not the right one.
No, that's old.
No, the latest one is EPL 1, then all the way through 10 is Spanish La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, Liga, Belgian Pro League, Portuguese Primeira Liga, Danish Superliga, Brazilian Serie A, and then this is the latest one because they, I think, quarterly probably update it based on, mm-hmm. what's that?
updated every day.
Okay, updated every day by Jeff Lynn and ELO. Yeah. And this is the one that where MLS snuck in to top 10 and they bumped Liga MX out.
Right. Yeah, so MLS has gone from being rated the 29th strongest top-tier league in world football to 10th over Liga MX, which is likely a knock-on effect of the competition's collective performance in the 2023 Leagues Cup, which is contested by MLS and La Liga and Liga MX teams.
Whatever.
Inter Miami were the champions of the Open, the Leagues Cup, yep. While 6 of the 8 quarterfinalists were from MLS. So the Leagues Cup, Craig, despite us making fun of it a lot, apologies TFC Fan 12, has actually resonated in these rankings now, pumping MLS to a top 10 league in the world.
Yeah, I'm not having it. Not until MLS starts to dominate League MX, and that has not happened.
No, and in fact, it's noted in the article that the next update, those are likely to flip-flop, where MLS will fall out of top 10 and League MX will jump back into it based on the teams remaining in the CCC.
And the Leagues Cup, don't forget, is all played in American stadiums too, right? So it's kind of unfair to weight it like anything else because League MX teams are on the road.
Mickey Mouse.
Forrest, this is where reviewers and listeners get that from. Say, you guys hate MLS. This is Forrest calling Leagues Cup Mickey Mouse.
It's not MLS. It's the Leagues Cup. It's not MLS.
It's
different kind of crappy tournament that a few of the Mexican teams were like, yeah, we'll play in the States. We're not even playing in Mexico. And yeah.
TFC Fan 12 needs to submit another review because that was back in the end of January. And since then, we've really stepped up our MLS coverage and Craig's softened his stance.
Yeah.
Less acid from Craig's mouth regarding MLS. So perhaps you can, a new 5-star review would be really handy right now. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do you think these kind of articles, and I mean, does anyone really care about these things? I know coefficients are important and with rankings and it does have some importance, but I mean, I read this out and honestly, I was putting myself to sleep. Really don't care. Is it more about let's fill some space on websites?
I kind of like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you like something, Craig.
That's good to know that he likes it.
Well, why do you like it, Craig Forrest?
It's past the Forrest test.
Why don't you tell us why you like it?
Please tell us.
it's kind of interesting. I find it interesting.
Do you?
Because.
What's interesting?
What else do you find interesting?
Well, you know, Jimmy, I find the FIFA rankings interesting, but not as interesting because I think they're kind of.
Oh, here we go.
Just a topic point, really, as well.
Do you think that the FIFA rankings now are skewed because of less friendlies? So you have Nations League and games that are apparently meant to mean more. But then based on your opponent, do you think that you can falsely bump up your coefficient or your score to improve your FIFA rankings?
Yeah, that is true. Like, I think it's hard for a country like, say, Peru, when they're playing in South America all the time, to get up the rankings as easy as maybe playing in CONCACAF in Canada, beating the crap out of St. Lucia and Barbuda and Aruba and St. Kitts and Nevis.
I want to take you to Bermuda, Bahamas.
Beach Boys reference, second time in two shows.
You sang the wrong song the first time.
I re-listened to the podcast. I got it way off, didn't I? Yeah.
You really did.
I thought I hit Glenn Frey's notes, though, pretty well. Is it Glenn
Frey?
Is it Frey? Is he the lead singer?
One of them.
No. No, he's from the Eagles.
He's Eagles.
Oh, yeah. Shit, he's Eagles.
Yeah.
No, what is that?
Brian Wilson and Mike Love.
Brian Wilson, that's right.
What
and Mike
is
Love.
That noise?
They're cutting up a tree. They're dismantling a body next door. I'm so sorry. You had it coming.
A powerful vibrator.
It's going to shake you up.
Yeah. On sale.
What? Oh. Tell us why you find vibrators interesting, Craig.
Well, me and Jimmy are, you know, a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to
vibrators. Tell us all about it.
Well, they're
Jimmy, flexible, are you eating a banana? What is happening? Oh, my God.
Update. James Sharman has left us. We're unable to hear him. He is talking. My vibrator is going hard over here. But so, James, are you there? There he is.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. Doing weird things on my computer right now. And I want to get to. It's just like over here in the, where are we, 46-minute mark. Anything else? Oh, Jimmy, you got a dad story.
What? Oh, yes. Yes, yesterday. I ended up taking my father to the hospital. He's not doing well. But to be fair to him, he's still got a great sense of humor. He's a very, very funny guy. Anyways, we get to the doctor's office, and we're sitting there. I got my mother in the room, my father, and myself. And we're just having a little chat, and all of a sudden the doctor comes in. And he walks in. He's like, "Hello, Mr. Sullivan. How's everything going? How are you today?" My father's like, "Hey, very well. Yeah." He goes, "I feel better than what I have done over the last couple of days." So he starts talking to my father. And he's putting his gloves on. Now, they're not the normal size glove. They're a good size glove. Like, they're starting to come halfway up the forearm, right? And put the next one on. And he's looking at my dad. He goes, "Yeah, I think I saw you maybe a few weeks ago." And my dad's like, "Oh, maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. I don't know." And so I'm looking at my father. My father's got his mask on, and my dad's eyes are getting a little bit open now, and he's kind of looking at this doctor the way he's putting on these gloves. So I stopped the doctor, and I said, "Excuse me, doc." I said, what did you call him when you came in?" He goes, "What would you mean?" I said, "What did you call him?" He goes, "Mr. Sullivan?" I said, "No, that's not Sullivan. That's Brennan." And the doctor goes, "What?" He goes, Oh, sorry, then. He goes, "I'll be back." And he takes off. So I looked at my father. I said, "You're a lucky man. You owe me a pint, by the way, because you could have those big monster hands up your ass."
Wow. That's, I mean, you wonder how often that happens.
Right?
You get the wrong clipboard.
You know what I mean?
Or like it surgeries?
It happens in surgery.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, and they write, like, "not this leg," like in Sharpie.
That's right. Yes, right? Amputate the leg and, like, "not this one." Jesus. Because you got to figure that at some point something happened to force them to do this now, right? Imagine that. You wake up and you're expecting your right leg missing and they've taken your left leg off.
Oh, no.
That's oh, dear.
Awful.
Not ideal.
No.
Wouldn't be a great day, would it?
I remember, I think I had this conversation with my orthopedic surgeon when I had refracture surgery on my left patella, and I wanted to stay awake, and I was watching it, but I was drugged.
You wanted to stay awake. You chose.
Yes, I wanted to watch it.
You're fucking so weird.
Yeah, I know. And then I like was hearing myself talking because I had it in Ottawa, and I was openly criticizing the Ottawa Senators, knowing that the doctor was a fan. And then in my head, I was like, why am I saying this? Like, why am I creating like this situation where he could be, I don't know, a little bit vindictive in the way that he's operating? And I was like, this is very stupid. And I only like realized it after because I was so drugged. But yeah, I can imagine stupid. Like they wrote, even though it was minor surgery, like they wrote on my right leg, not this leg.
Wow.
Yeah. Craig, did they make the same mistake with you, did they?
They had to really stretch the skin.
Did they write? Yeah, they wrote on the lefty. Yeah. Not this ball.
Yeah. They stretched out the rhino skin.
Little
but seriously,
shopping.
Though, maybe you guys can help me out. Like, as far as the balls and the movement, like, is there ever any crossing over?
The cameras are intertwining. Oh,
well, right. So
cocked,
is it
cocked balls, right? Apparently it's one of the most painful things to ever experience, right? And you can lose a ball through the circulatory issues from a cocked ball, right?
Yeah.
You've heard this before, right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
But generally they stay in the same spot.
Down by your knees.
Okay.
I think it's your left ball like hangs lower than your right one.
But is that across the board? It doesn't have anything to do with your handedness? Like if you're left-handed, that doesn't affect it, or right-handed?
No,
it's just always your left?
Don't boobs also, one's bigger than the other? Isn't that a thing?
Like, yeah. I mean, we like to think of ourselves as being symmetrical humans or mammals, but we're not, right? Because of your heart being on one side and your liver's on the other side, and like you and your habits, the way that you hold your body and the way you move throughout your day. you're just not going to look the same. And the same holds true for balls, boobs, ass cheeks, I imagine. Your face, right? There have been studies that say, like, the more symmetrical your face, the more sort of culturally you're considered attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So Peter Beardsley is not considered attractive.
If you're...
Right. Peter Beardsley.
Is that a good...
Jimmy and Craig know Peter Beardsley. He was a former Liverpool and Newcastle star, fucking great player.
And Vancouver Whitecaps,
but wasn't the most symmetrical. See,
don't disrespect MLS.
No.
I'm going to get you a t-shirt made
for us. North American Soccer League, but whatever.
Who would be the most symmetrical in this show, do you think? Maybe we should put a poll out and ask the listeners, who is the most symmetrical pod member?
Wonger.
Probably Wonger, isn't it? Yeah, like a seal.
It's pretty curvy there, Jimmy.
But it's all symmetrical.
Yeah, it is. All right, so that's it then, I guess, right?
I also wanted to talk about the England men's team yesterday when they played Belgium at Wembley. The match was dedicated to Alzheimer's Society and driving home. So their tagline was driving home how football should be unforgettable. And so Alzheimer's is near and dear to my heart because my mom died of Alzheimer's. And we probably, in retrospect, should have sought help sooner. We saw the signs and we didn't get her screened. Maybe partly to do with what we knew it was going to happen and avoidance and all that sort of stuff. But to try to encourage people to test themselves, screen themselves, go see their doctors. And then the sooner you know, sometimes there's not much that you can do, but you can take medication in order to kind of curb it or curtail it a little bit. But it was too late for my mom. Mm-hmm. But what was fabulous about this initiative was that when he returned to the pitch after halftime, their shirts didn't have their names on them. So they said the names will disappear from the player's kit when they return to the pitch, drawing attention to how people with dementia lose precious memories, even the names of their favorite football players. So I'm getting emotional talking about it, but it's such a wonderful initiative and just a reminder, no pun intended, that if you see a family member or a loved one and something seems amiss, go get it checked out because, you know, and we're probably going to get ourselves tested, but the sooner you know, the better, because, you know, research is advancing and you never know, maybe they'll one day find a cure for it, but there's medication now that can sort of curb the advancement of it.
Can they test before the symptoms present themselves? And is it definitive?
I don't know the answer to that, but I know that there's testing that you can undergo to see if you have a gene for it that would make you, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get it, but that your risk would be higher.
I just think
increasing the awareness, right, is what it's all about.
I mean, they are making great strides in that area. I read somewhere that there are some universities in the States who are looking at dementia and Alzheimer's as diabetes type 3. I think I saw that somewhere. That there's some connection I probably shouldn't have said anything.
To do with insulin uptake and insulin resistance in the body?
I believe so. There's something like that. I look it up. But there's some, they're making such breakthroughs. And that it used to be they thought that using aluminum pots and pans, right, what was causing Alzheimer's. Remember that? I don't know if that's still a thing or not.
Yeah, and I know with it's not the same thing, but it's a neurological disease. And in ALS, and JP's dad died of ALS in 2004, and studies were done on football players and rugby players to say that there was something to do with, because there was such a high rate of ALS in former players, that there was something to do with pesticides and the upkeep of the pitch.
Jesus.
That was affecting this disease manifesting in these guys.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But what a devastating disease. Fucking horrible.
Yeah. Can only imagine. We should at some point, we said this for years, get a doctor on this show to talk about various things.
We have a doctor on the broadcast.
We do. That's right. let's get Claire on to talk about stuff. I don't know, things that we're worried about. Let's get Claire to diagnose us with stuff because we've got things.
I think Claire would love that. We might not like it very much, but she would love it.
Claire, I found this lump. There's two of them, actually. No? No?
Lumps?
Probably
not, yeah.
It's probably nothing, right?
Oh, God. Okay, go get it checked out.
If you found a lump, get it checked out. Okay. Sometimes the podcast can be irritating. That's the best
Most
time.
Most times, let's best be time honest.
That review. Yeah, I get it. Like right now, when we don't know how to say goodbye and sign up properly.
Sorry, I launched into that.
That was good, though. That was very, very valid, though, I think. Usually Craig jumps in with a question that, you know, determines how long the show will last. But Craig, do you have anything else?
No, I've got a wet floor in my apartment that I have to deal with.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. Get some towels. That usually helps.
Use the washroom. Go to the bathroom. Don't just do it in the kitchen.
Are your cats still there?
You can't pee with your cats.
Bigger litter box.
Everybody's out. Everything's out.
Oh, God, that's brutal, man.
Sorry, Forrest.
All right. FuboTV.com, TonyBet.ca. Watch and bet. There you go. We're back. We already have MLS 3 questions with Montreal. We have that out there at the moment. We have TFC and Vancouver dropping later today, maybe tomorrow morning. And then, of course, we are back with MLS Box to Box on Thursday. Kalen Kyle joining us. Should be exciting. And then, of course, Friday we have another foundational and the Flaccid Four. Who's doing it this week? Any volunteers?
I think I'm back up as a...
We can mix it up. Dubs. Dubs. And we'll get Wonga to do one. And JC, how about that?
Yeah? Should all the questions have to do with Good Friday?
Maybe.
And
maybe
again? Just
career resurrections.
Yes.
Back from the death.
Very good.
Like erections. That. Erections, yes.
Jimmy's hot crust buns. What?
Till next time. Bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Double peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.